Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Amen. Give our guys a hand, will you? Praise God. And give the rest of the team a hand. We don't want to be unfair. We don't want to show favoritism here. All right. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. I know you got your Bibles. I am confident that you have your Bibles. And you're not going to prove me wrong, are you? Okay. All right. All right. I see that, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother testifying in the back there. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I want you once again to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We jumped off from there last week, so I want to go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what verse, but right now, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh God, how we thank you. Dear Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I do thank you, Lord, for every person that's here today and everyone that's viewing today. I thank you for them. And Father, I thank you, and I ask, Father, that their ears be open to hear your word, their hearts be open to receive your word. Hallelujah. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the honor for the wonderful and mighty things that you are doing in their lives. As they hear the word and obey the word and walk in your word and have a strong relationship and strong fellowship with you. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word, because I understand all too well that without you, I can do nothing. So I rest in you right now. We'll forever give you the praise, Lord, and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, I read this to you last week, and I want to read it to you again. And before I read it, again, my subject is being mindful of God on the inside. Being mindful of God on the inside. And I want you to really be mindful of that, because when we lose sight of that, sometimes we tend to stray. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. We tend to stray. We tend sometimes to get off course. But we need to know who we are. We need to know who God is and where God is as it relates to us. Praise God. So now in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, well, I'll just read one verse, verse 16. Again, I'm reading to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. Do you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And verse 16 says, and of course, he was, I'm just jumping in here. I think I'm going to do what I did last week. I think I did this last week. So, and just tie all this together. Let's go move up to verse 14, I believe. And the word of God says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now, before I go any further, before I read any further, we'll call light. Amen. We'll call light because we're born again. We're God's children. And we'll call light. So the latter part of verse 14 says, what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, don't misunderstand that. We have to associate with unbelievers when we minister to them Jesus Christ and show them Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We are told to love everybody. Am I correct there?
Amen.
Yeah. Believer and unbeliever. We are told to love them. And I'm not talking about fake love, pretension. I'm talking about the real love of God, the real agape love of God. Matter of fact, that's what drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the same testimony. It was the love of God.
Amen,
amen, wasn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, for God so what? Loved. And amen. He loved us when we were in our sins, when we were lost. He loved us, and he gave Jesus for us, and he gave us salvation through Jesus Christ because he loved us, and he still loves us. And so we must do likewise and love not only our fellow believers, but we are to love everybody, amen, and do good to everybody and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody. Amen. But now, just because you love them, don't mean you got to go out and party with them. It doesn't mean you're supposed to go out and party and get drunk and or get high or whatever it is. You know, no. Because we are light. And we are supposed to be examples to the unbeliever. Let me say that again. We are supposed to be examples to the unbeliever. If the unbeliever needs someone to give them hope, if the unbeliever needs someone to point them in the right direction, he or she need to be able to find and look to the believers. Amen. Our light need to be shining so bright that doesn't matter how dark their world is, they can still look and see our light shining. Praise the name of the Lord. You still with me? So verse 15 again, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has the believer with an unbeliever? Now look at verse 16. Verse 16 is where we're going. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And this is the part I want you to really get. For you are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
For you, and that includes yours truly, are the temple of the living God. Amen. Now, how many of you in here, you're born again and you know it. Raise your hand high. Testify by stretching your hands high. And you know, I want to look across this country, but this is looking good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is looking good. All right. Now you can take your hands down, but I want you to make this confession right now. Say, I am the temple of the living God.
I am the temple of the living God.
Say, my body is the temple of the living God. Glory to God. We're walking temples. Amen. Don't ever lose sight of that. Amen. So again, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I like the way God said that. God didn't say, I sure do want to dwell in them. I would just like to dwell in them. No, he said, I will dwell in them. Praise God. I will dwell in them and walk among them. And be their God. Hallelujah. And they shall be my people. Amen. Now, verse 16 was my main verse, but I want to read verse 17 to you and verse 18 since we're on the subject. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and let me start up. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Is that in your Bible? I said, is that in your Bible? Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. You know, when we make a choice to live a holy life, live a sanctified life, commit ourselves to God, what we're doing is giving God something he can use. We're giving God something he can use. Amen. And I want every one of you to know, every one of you here and every one of you watching, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Amen. You may consider it a small thing, but guess what? God wants to use you. So he says, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Listen at verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Some people know him as God. Some people call him other names. But I know him as Father. You hear? Did you hear that? You know, there are other religion, cults and everything. You know, they call God whatever. But our God, the living God, we know him as Father. And listen to me, and we have been given the honor of addressing him as Father. Why? Because we are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughters. He is our Father. Now, why can we address him as Father? Because we're related to him. We're related to him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the fact that he dwells on the inside of us. He lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18 again. It says, I will be a father to you. When God said this, he was speaking future. Now it's present. The Son of God has come. He lived here on the earth. He was crucified. Hung on Calvary's cross. There he died. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day. See, aren't you glad? Listen to this. Aren't you glad that we celebrate even when we take communion? We celebrate his death, his burial, but none of that would help us if it wasn't for the resurrection. Glory to God. So we celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, if you will believe on me, I will come in and make my home on the inside of you. Because that's where I want to be. I came to this earth I died. I was hung on the cross. Well, he was hung on the cross before he died. And then he died. He was buried. And he rose again so that he could dwell on the inside of us, making us part of God's family. Amen. Now, I don't know if that blessed you or not, but it sure blessed me. I've been saved a long time. Praise God. I've been saved a long time. 1969, I got saved. How many years is that? Somebody just lied in church. You can come to the altar after service. 50? Did somebody say 50? 69? 52. Anyway, we hadn't come to an agreement on it. Let me see. 69, 79, 89, 99, 2009, 2019, that's 50. 2021. So right around 52 years, I've been born again. So I'm 52 years old, spiritually speaking. I just got younger. No. But even though I've been born again around 52 years, every time I hear the message of salvation, it blesses me. You hear me? I get blessed every time when I hear what Jesus Christ has done for me.
Yes.
Glory to God. Why? Because it never get old. It don't get old.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, please, I beg you, don't lose sight of the fact that he's living on the inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Peter, we won't go there, but he talked about reminding the church, reminding them over and over and over, because if you're not reminded, sometimes we'll have a tendency to forget who we really are. And Peter said you can get to the place where sometimes if you're not careful, you'll forget you're even born again. Amen. In 2 Peter. You'll forget you're even born again. So we got to keep this thing fresh. That's the reason faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing some more the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's the reason you're here today. That's the reason we're assembled together today. This is part of it, praising and worshiping God, but also to hear God's word. We need it. We need it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. So we got to understand then that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I told you last week that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
And I think I won't go there again this week, but if you weren't here, you can write it down, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. And one reference I did not give you, but I'll give it to you now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Now, here's what should always give us comfort. Turn to the book of Matthew, 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. How many of you, you can be honest with me, how many of you have felt lonely at times, especially, I'm talking about after you are born again, you just kind of feel, come on, just, you know, you can be honest. Amen. All righty. Praise God. We're all human. We're all still living in this body. Glory to God. It's one day going to be changed. But I want to read this in Matthew chapter 28. It says, and Jesus' authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. But listen at this. And lo, I am with you How long?
Always.
Huh? He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Everywhere we go, God goes, because he's on the inside of us. Let me say that again. You get that in your spirit. Everywhere I go, God goes with me. Everywhere he sends me, he goes there with me, because he's dwelling on the inside of me. Amen? So always be mindful of this one thing. God is with you. Actually, it's twofold. He is in us, and he's also with us. Remember when they announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's God with us. That's God with us. Amen. And so he is with us. And during that time, Jesus was with them. But after his death, burial, and resurrection, and now seated at the right hand of God the Father, he is now in them and in us. Praise God. And he's never going to leave us. He won't walk away from us. Praise God. But now here's the thing, and I shared some of this with you last Sunday. This is real for some people. Okay, this is real for some people, because there's a devil out there that's mad because you got born again. Amen. He lost you. Every one of you that raised your hands earlier that you're born again, he lost you. He had you, but he lost you. And he's not happy about that. You hear me? He's not happy about that. Praise God. Praise God. Is anybody in here hot other than me? No? Oh, okay, just a few. I'm over my head. I need, for a little while anyway. Praise God. He lost you, but he's not happy about the fact that he lost you. But now, let me bring up another fact. He is not all-powerful, which God proved that when he kicked him out of heaven. But he's not all-powerful, because if he was, you would have been able to get saved, because he'd had a death grip on you, and you wouldn't have had the ability to make a decision that you're going to give your life to the Lord. You wouldn't have, you couldn't have done that. So he is not all powerful. Sometimes you listen to some Christians, they think he's all powerful, but he's not. Okay? He's not. But the trick he play on some people is, especially young Christians, and let me tell you something. Listen to me good. When someone gets saved in this church, or if you know of someone that's a new Christian, or maybe just some believer Christian that's struggling, they may be struggling with their faith or whatever, those of us that are mature are supposed to jump in and help them. Amen? Amen? We're supposed to help them. We're supposed to help build them up, because here's what happens. The devil lost you, but then he's going to try to talk you out of your salvation. He will try to convince you that you are not really saved, especially if you make a mistake. Because he'll tell you that a good Christian wouldn't have made that mistake. Or he'll say it this way: if you were really saved, that wouldn't have happened. Anybody ever experienced that at some point in your life? So you're a testimony to what I'm talking about. because the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant to his devices. We're not ignorant to his tricks. But if you just got saved, or if you're a young Christian, you haven't learned enough yet. So we need to be there for them to help them grow in Christ Jesus. How many mothers do we have in this congregation? You are mommies. All right, we have all these mommies. Okay, now I hope this question is going to go over real well, because I don't know any of your passes. I don't know what you used to be before Christ. But as a mommy, as a mother, when your child was born, did you just have the baby, deliver the baby, and then say, whoo, glad that's over, walked off and left it? I got you here, buddy. Now you're on your own. I did my part. I put up with you 9 months. No, you didn't do that. You took that baby, you cared for it. You cleaned, made sure it stayed clean, made sure the baby was fed. You provided for that child, right? But you know, we should do the same thing for new believers, because they're spiritual babies. So we need to be there for them. Oh yes, it takes time. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your time, but let me tell you, it's worth it. Walking with the Lord is worth it. Heaven is worth it. Because you have to understand that the enemy will come against them and try to convince them that they are not really saved, especially if they make a mistake. Try to convince them that they are not really saved. And so we need to be there to help them. And if they make a mistake, let them know, you're fine. Let's just pray about this. You go ahead and confess it, like 1 John 1:9 says, and let's move on. Let's move on. Amen. Amen. The devil wants to keep reminding you of your mistakes, of your shortcomings, and God wants you to confess it, repent, and move on. Are you still here?
Yes.
So I want to share this scripture with you to help you if the devil is playing tricks on your mind. Like I shared last week, and I won't share it again this week, but I had to deal with that at one point in my walk with the Lord. Been a lot of years ago. But I had to deal with it. And I didn't have anybody at that time to sit down with me and say, look, this is what the Word of God says. You know, this is what the Word of God says. The devil was trying to convince me that I wasn't saved. Not really. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I wasn't doing anything wrong. To my knowledge, it was just an attack. And these things are real in the lives of some folks. And we should not ignore them. So if you're born again, or maybe if you've been born again a while, but if the devil's been talking to your mind, you need to deal with it. It needs to be dealt with. Understanding first and foremost, if you come to Jesus Christ, listen to me, if you come to Jesus Christ, he will not reject you. Let me make this statement again. If you come to Jesus Christ, whatever state you're in, if you come to Jesus Christ, he will not turn you away. That's the reason he came. To save sinners. So let's get that clear. Wherever you are right now, God will not reject you. Jesus Christ will not reject you if you come to him. If you made a mistake, he's not going to reject you. He wants you to come to him. Too many times, even as mature Christians sometimes, we have a tendency to run away from him rather than running to him. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Some Christians, and not all of them are new Christians either, they make a mistake and they blow it and they feel bad about what they did. They feel bad. They genuinely feel bad about what they did. But guess what? They decide, man, I messed up. I'm not going back to church. I'm too embarrassed to go back to church. Do you know you're playing right into the hands of the devil? That's exactly what he wants you to do, is to stay out of church. Well, what will they think of me? Who cares? It's what God thinks that's important. You listening to me? It's what God thinks. It's what God thinks. And God says, come back to him. Too many times, our own selfish pride get in the way, and it drives us away from God, because we feel like, I am finally somebody. I got news for you. Without Jesus Christ, you are nobody. I finally arrived, but I made a mistake, so I can't go back. If you can't go to church, please tell me where you're going. If you can't come and gather with the people of God, the saints of God, where are you going? Are you going down to the club? They can't help you. Going to the strip joint? You sure not going to get any help there. You would be surprised what happens to people when they blow it sometimes. And again, they really feel bad about what they did. But rather than drawing closer to God, they go in the other direction. And mainly because of what other people may think of them. Let me tell you something. In God's house, hear me good on this one. Please, hear me good. I hadn't been in a hurry on this message, and you know, I'm going to quit shortly. But listen to me. This is very, very important. God's house, when I say God's house, I'm talking about the place of assembly, okay? God's house can be one of the most prideful places you can go, especially when certain people have a certain degree of education or hold a certain position in the church. So now they feel like I'm somebody, okay? But that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said he came to serve. I think the King James Version says it this way. Jesus says, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. In other words, what he was saying, I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to serve. Bible says he made himself of no reputation so that he could serve. I'm going to tell you something. Hanging on that cross before the world, that's service. You hear me? That's service. So we got to make sure that regardless of what position we may hold or what status we have, We can't get, as they say around here, this area, we can't get the big head. Because in Christ, we're all the same. There are no big I's and no small U's. You hear me? Amen. Yes, we give honor to whom honor is due. We give respect to whom respect is due. Okay?
Amen.
Glory to God. We do that in the natural, in the world, and we do it in the church. You should give respect to whom respect is due. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm here as the pastor of this church. I want to tell you something. I am no better than you. I had to get saved just like you did.
Amen.
I'm washed in the same blood you're washed in. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I can't get to thinking, man, I'm all this and I'm all that and blah, blah, blah. No, you are to respect me as the pastor of this church. And thank God y'all do that. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you for that. But we got to have the right attitude, all of us. Now, I kind of got off on that, but I felt like that was needed, because too many times we're all caught up with us and what we do and with the position that we hold. And all God wants to do is use us. He wants to use us. And if we feel like we're too high to get our hands dirty, we really are too high. We're really too high. God's called us all to serve. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, all right, I got to. There are folk that are struggling with their walk with the Lord. They're struggling with the fact that they're saved. They don't really know for sure. And I'll say it this way, like I did last week. When I went through my ordeal, in my heart, I knew I was born again. If you were to ask me, are you born again? I'd have told you with a resounding, yes, I'm born again. But the enemy was playing with my head. You hear me? And I know some of you can relate to what I'm saying. You can relate to what I'm saying. He was playing with my head until I put a stop to it. But now I want to read Romans chapter 8. Turn to 8th chapter of the book of Romans. In the 8th chapter of Romans, I'll just begin reading at verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Listen to this now. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, what?
Abba Father.
Abba Father. That's what we were talking about earlier. We can say Father, Father. Glory to God. Now listen at verse 16. Take a look there. The Spirit Himself bears witness with who? What? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we get born again, something on the in happens on the inside of us, and the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so get out of your head and look to your heart. That's where the true witness is. Praise God. No wonder the Bible says that he will give us peace that passes all understanding. Can I tell you something? That peace is right here. We just get it out. We got to get it out of here and get it over into our soulish realm. Are you still here? I know I've said a lot to you this morning. Glory to God. Praise God. If you didn't get it all, go back on the Facebook page or YouTube, wherever, and watch it again and get it again. But let me say this again. The Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Now, let me ask you a question. I've got to quit, but I want to ask this question. Do you think the Holy Spirit's worried about anything?
No.
So he's not troubled. He's not worrying. Now, that same spirit that's not troubled, he's not worrying about anything. He don't worry about anything. Is living on the inside of us. Guess what's on the inside of us? Peace. Not worry. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, first of all, God recreated us spiritually. We are a new creature. We are a new creation. We're called the new man. The old man's gone, but we're called a new man. And now the Holy Spirit is living inside of the new man, which is our spirits on the inside of us. And that's the reason there's peace on the inside of me, because the Spirit of God's on the inside of me. I got to get that peace out of here up to here. How do you do that, Pastor? I'm glad you said that. By reading and studying and hearing the Word of God. By what? Feeding your spirit.
Amen.
By feeding the spirit man. By feeding the spirit man. Because the spirit of peace is already in there. We got to let him shine. We got to open the door so that he can shine, so that he can speak. He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. The only way you're going to have peace that passes all understanding, it's got to come from the Word of God. It's got to come from your spirit through the Holy Spirit and go right past your mind, because your mind can't grasp it. Your mind is saying, man, we should be worrying about this. Man, have you heard the news? Did you hear what they're saying on the news? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Blah, 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 blah. All that's going into your head. All that's going into your head. All that's going into your head. Get the Word of God in your spirit that will bring peace to your soul. Like I read earlier, the Bible says, God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. See, that's a promise from God. You get that in your spirit, man, that sets you free.
Amen.
And that way, when the devil tries to speak to you, you just rebuke that, because you know it's not so.
That's right.
It's not so. Are y'all grabbing a hold of what I'm saying? Are you getting it?
Yes.
Peace like a river flows to my soul through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. And the spirit of peace rests on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Now in closing, come on guys. Jesus is our example. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he came out of the wilderness. And guess who was there to meet him? The devil. Now, just because you're saved don't mean you're not going to have to deal with him, the devil. But what did Jesus do when the devil told him to turn stones into bread because Jesus was physically hungry? Jesus just pulled what was inside of him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Guess what? When he said that, he was still physically hungry. You listening to me? He was still physically hungry, but it was on the inside of him, and what was on the inside of him came up out of him. And of course, you know, the devil tried some other things, took him to the pinnacle of the temple, showed him all the tried to get him to jump off the temple, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, offered him all that stuff. None of it changed Jesus. Why? Because he had God's word on the inside of him. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was on the inside of him. It was upon him, and the Holy Spirit was upon him and in him. And that same spirit, matter of fact, I told you last week, I believe it was last Sunday, the Bible tells us that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. They are the children of God. You still here?
Amen.
Glory to God. Man, I could go another 2 hours. Don't get nervous, I'm not. But we got to be God inside minded. God inside minded. When you are God inside minded, nothing can defeat you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We give you glory.